Hey y'all, welcome to Girl Gumbo. It's your girl, Lady K, here with another episode. I am very passionate and very excited about what is to come in this episode. This episode, we are going to talk about what does it mean to be saved for real in 2018. So come on in if you have a pencil and pad, or if you have the notes section of your iPhone, or if you're on a run, if you're driving in your car like me, because I love to listen to podcasts while I'm driving from point A to point B. Take some notes, email me or DM me some questions if you have any questions. Let's hop right on in. All right, so being saved for real in 2018, y'all, I have really seen so many different things, and I've seen salvation morph into something different from women of God, women in ministry, millennials, or younger people who have accepted Jesus and who have different types of models before them in the Christian community. And I feel generally that the standard has been diminished. The standard has been lowered for what it means to be truly saved in 2018, or what it means to be saved, period. First of all, I want to talk about this pseudo popularity that has been birthed through social media. You know, a lot of times people get a certain amount of people following them on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or the like, any type of social media, and they may be Christian, or they may profess to know Jesus, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. They do not pray. They do not read their word. And somehow, some way, they are role models for women in ministry. They are the poster children for Jesus girls, or the poster children for what it looks like to be a woman of God. I want to dispel a myth that you cannot be a beautiful, trendy woman of God in 2018. A lot of times people try to mention salvation and boredom like they are synonymous with one another, and they are not. You can live your best life. You can live your best life as a Christian woman and still be trendy and still really enjoy life, because the Bible does say that he won't withhold any good thing from those of us who walk uprightly. And I think sometimes that is often forgotten, because people are rejecting salvation. They are rejecting the genuine, authentic word of God in their hearts, and they don't want to accept Christ as their personal saviors, because someone has painted this picture and someone has perpetuated this ideal to them that nothing about salvation is beautiful. And I'm not just talking about beautiful because you are in Christ, but aesthetically pleasing, beautiful to the eye. I was taught that women of God are modest, and that term takes a whole it can take a whole different meaning, because those people who are of the apostolic faith believe that you cannot wear pants as a woman, you cannot wear makeup or any other type of embellishments and still be saved. I don't subscribe to that. I will gladly have someone make me a wig with 5 bundles of Malaysian raw hair. I will beat my face. I will put on makeup, and I will still cast out a spirit in Jesus' name. I will still pray you through in Jesus' name. I will still see signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. And I still have the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I do think that it is so important to perpetuate that message. However, we cannot compromise. We cannot feel like with the rise of social media that we have to compromise our Christianity to be cute and saved in 2018. That is not the case. And I am seeing that more and more. And it is, a lot of times it is disheartening to me, because I want my fellow sisters in Christ to be saved and to not compromise. And a few things I'm going to talk about, and these topics that I'm going to talk about have been encouraged from or through various questions that I get on a consistent basis, and I'm excited to shed light on these things and really talk about how I feel about them. All right, the first one is sex before marriage. It's 2018, and not everyone has held themselves or is holding themselves for their husband. Some people have, you know, previously had sex and they are currently abstaining, or some people may be experiencing a stronghold as it pertains to lust or perversion, and they may find it difficult to abstain from sex for various reasons. Some of those reasons are spiritual and they don't know it. Some of those reasons, glory to God, some of those reasons are generational and they are not privy to that information yet, because a lot of times we deal with generational spirits, generational demons that have nothing to do with us. They were, you know, they were passed down to us and nobody just caught on to it, or nobody had a burden that was heavy enough to pray against that spirit. Or some people are just struggling with their flesh because they, you know, that's something that they struggle with, because all things in the flesh are not spiritually motivated. And I want to provide clarity to that statement. I do believe that the things in the spirit manifest themselves through the physical realm. However, everyone who's out here having sex is not dealing with a stronghold, dealing with a soul tie, etc. I was a virgin when I got married, but I do want to keep it real with y'all. I want to keep it real with y'all, and this is not something that I just readily speak about, but Girl Gumbo has a special place in my heart, and I always said that I would keep it 100% real with my listeners here at Girl Gumbo. And my virginity for a long period of time caused me to have a certain level of pride about myself and to feel like I kept myself from my husband. Now, this is way prior to me getting married, because by the time I was engaged, I realized that it was definitely no goodness of my own that I was still a virgin. It was nothing but the grace of God. But I used to have a level of pride, like, okay, I'm a virgin, I'm saving myself, so I'm better than you. I have more salvation than you have. I am holier than you are. That is so not the case. The Lord despises pride. And I realized that, you know, I was ineffective in my witness concerning abstinence, concerning, you know, being chaste, if I was going to have pride concerning it. You cannot perpetuate the message of abstaining from sex if you are engaging in pride. So I had to, the Lord had to bring me off of my high horse and let me know, sweetheart, you are abstaining, but, you know, your flesh has nothing to do with that. You are not better than the next female, than the next woman of God who decided to, have sex because you decided to abstain. So I do want to put this out there, that if you have fallen in lust, or you are currently dealing with lust, you can pray about that thing. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So you don't have to feel condemned because you have engaged in sex. However, the repentance is not just in the act of you going to God and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, but the repentance is in the consistency of your posture to do better. The repentance, the true repentance, lies in your position to really go before God with this thing and really believe that he can take it away from you. So many times we have issues, or we possess things in our flesh and we go to God, but we don't sincerely believe that the power of the Holy Spirit can take that thing out of us. And it is important that if you have an issue in your flesh through lust, or, you know, that's manifesting itself in lust or pornography or any type of sexual immorality or perversion, that you go to God with that. Let me tell you something. I had to learn a few years ago that the authenticity of my prayer life was not me saying, Father, thank you for this day, help me to have a blessed day. The authenticity of my prayer life was saying, God, I told a lie today, I need you to forgive me. That is the authenticity of your prayer life. When you can get naked and nasty before Jesus and let him know just how much you messed up, because he knows anyway, but he wants to hear the sincerity of your heart. And, you know, I really, you know, I'm being 100% real with y'all. I have a coworker right now who is pregnant, and she made a decision to terminate her pregnancy. And I'm gonna tell y'all the truth. I talked to my husband and I said, "Brandon, am I wrong for praying that she keeps her baby?" And he said, "No, you're not wrong for praying that, because I really want her to keep her baby. But this morning, today is the day that she's going to have her procedure. And she was on my heart so heavily last night. And I text her this morning and I said, 'Sweetie, I want you to know that God still loves you. And I don't want you to think that because you are making this decision that God has, he will strike you off of some list that will preclude you or prevent you from ever conceiving a baby again, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory.' And the Holy Spirit let me know in that moment, what I just did was really what true witnessing and true evangelism looked like. Because so many people I know, so many Christians, I'm sure, I mean, her decision is one that has been discreet. And, you know, I was even, you know, humbled that she decided to share that information with me. But I do want to say that it let me know that as Christians, we cannot look down on the next person because they have sinned differently than the way that we have sinned or will possibly sin in the future. So any type of perversion, sex, whatever you've done, sis, God will forgive you. The next thing that I want to talk about is our image. And this is where I feel like we compromise the most. Our image, y'all. There's a saying in a certain community of people that modest is hottest. And I used to think that they were talking or speaking exclusively to women who chose to not wear pants. But modesty, in my opinion, is a state of mind. Modesty is a position. Modesty is how you posture yourself. And I'm seeing, you know, y'all, we can have fun and we can be cute, but we don't have to let everybody see our goodies. Oh my goodness. And even if you're married, you can still, you know, dress up for your husband if you're going out. However, certain things social media does not need to see. Social media does not need to see if you decided to have your tail out for your husband. And if, you know, that's what your husband likes, that's what he likes. However, I do think that we are looking too much like the world. If the world is having their boobies out and their tails out and their coochies out, this is Girl Gumbo, so we keeping it real, sis. If the world is having all of that out and we're having all that out too, where is the distinction? Where do we draw the line between sacred and secular? Where are we drawing the line and trying to merge these two together? And how are we effectively differentiating what looks like Christ and what looks like the world? We don't have to look like the world to compel the world. That's another myth that the church has subscribed to. We have all of these youth conferences and we use all of these conference names that are popular R&B and hip hop songs because we are trying to compel the world. Meanwhile, we are steadily looking like the world. The world does not want to see themselves if they're looking for Christ. Has anybody ever considered that? The world does not want to see themselves if they are looking for Christ. So, sis, cover up. That's just, you know, that's plain and simple. Cover up. And the third topic that I want to talk about is, y'all know I love speaking on relationships. I want to talk about dating because many people are struggling trying to find the middle ground between what's acceptable and what's not acceptable as a dating Christian woman. Now, let's just keep it real. Let's just keep it 100% honest. Let's just keep it 100% real. If I were a dating Christian woman in 2018, I would be completely mortified. I would be, because there is usually no gray area. You usually have, I mean, that your saved men can fall into one of a few categories, and usually the extremes are either far left or far right. You either have the holy and saved church boys who love the Lord, but all they want to do is church, shout, speak in tongues all day long. Or you have the church boys who are gay, or you have people who just don't love the Lord at all and want to be thugs. And it's just like, okay, what am I supposed to do with that, Lord? You know, how am I supposed to negotiate this? Am I supposed to pray for, am I supposed to settle and accept a man who is not saved? Does dating someone who is not saved make me less of a Christian woman? All these questions that need answers. So first of all, y'all, my husband is very saved, but my husband is also very down to earth. And I think that a lot of people don't see his down to earth side. And I used to try to convince people that that side existed, but I stopped doing that a long time ago because the person my husband is to me is not who he has to be for or to other people. And however, y'all, do not let these men date y'all, and the only dates that y'all go on are at church. What in the world? Or don't let these men date y'all, and y'all only go on dates in places that are noisy. One thing that I believe in is when you are dating, especially in the initial stages of dating, the movies and other loud places should be a no-go. At the movies, you can't get to know a person. At church, you can't talk about interest. You can't talk about the future. And I listen to a lot of teachings often from Apostle Stevenson, and he was talking one time about the levels of intimacy. And you know, he made this comparison between you know, on the front porch in the black culture is where we hang out, play spades, we get to know each other. Once you have moved from the hallway to the hall, once you have moved from the porch to the hallway, that's where you kind of, you date casually, you try to figure out about a person, their likes, dislikes, what they want to be, their credit score, et cetera, before you make that final step into the bedroom, into more intimate spaces. And I think that a lot of church girls are really struggling because it seems like the church men that are semi down to earth are too afraid or too holy or whatever it is to want to date casually. And to that I say, be yourself. Do not feel compelled. Do not feel the need to be someone who you are not, to try to fit a mold that someone is trying to put you or place you in. Now, dating people who you sometimes feel are more saved than you are. Sis, do not, and I repeat, do not let someone or make a man cause you to feel like you have to convert from who you are to being a first lady or being someone who you are not because he preaches or he's in the church or he's a youth pastor or he does this or he does that. Let me tell you something. A real man wants you to be your authentic and your true self. Now, the final component to this conversation that needs to be had concerning dating is, you know, should you or should you not date someone who is not saved? All I will say is casually dating is one thing. Exclusively dating is something else. Personally, I would play it very safe, and I would probably, this is just Lady K, this is not Bible. I would probably not date someone who I felt lacked the capacity to truly understand my salvation and truly grow with me in that area. Because one thing that is very beautiful in a relationship is growing in grace and growing in Christ together. So I would say, if he's not even willing to go to the church with you, that's probably an area you might want to stay clear from. All right. So we're going to sum it all up. All in all, in 2018, sis, stop compromising. If you're going to be saved, be saved. If you're going to pray, pray. And I tell my eighth grade students all of the time, don't wait until it's too late to stop following the crowd, because at that point, you've already followed them to a place of no return. Be you, sis. Be a leader. Don't be a follower. God loves you. The next episode of Girl Gumbo, I have already recorded it. I am still trying to edit it because it's pretty long, and I really hope that you all share, because the next episode is going to be hot. My husband and I, we're going to talk about sex, masturbation, how does this fit the mold of people who are saved? I mean, what can we do? What can't we do? So join me next time. Y'all give me a few days to edit these broadcasts. Y'all know I'm a wife and a mom and a first lady and a mentor and a businesswoman and a teacher. So I'm trying my best to negotiate all of these things and still be consistent in all of my endeavors. Keep me in prayer. I love y'all so much. Talk to y'all later.